Morning. Today's daf in Chulin Kuf Lamed Beis. We are in Kuf Lamed Alf Amud Beis, towards the middle of the Amud. We started the 10th parak of the Masechta. In the 10th parak of Chulin, we are discussing the mitzvah Zerol Chai Vekeva. There are matanos, there are gifts that are given to the Kohen from Chulin, from non-hekdesh animals. The three parts that are given to a Kohen from every animal that shechted is the Zeroa, which is the front leg, L'chaim, the jaw of the animal, and the keva and the stomach of the animal, specifically the fourth stomach of the animal. Is a mitzvah coming upon every animal, every behemoth. Actually, it's coming up in today's daf, from every behemoth. And the Gemara discussed numerous ideas in this mitzvah. This is now the third daf of this perek. The first daf, we established that this is a mitzvah for chulin and specifically not for kachim. The Mishnah then goes on to point out various distinctions between a karban that had a mum preceding its hektish versus a karban that had a mum after it becomes kadosh, or basically the difference between kedushas haguf versus kedushas adamim. And we spent a lot of time discussing that. In the course of since the beginning of the parak, we discussed some of the most basic issues. One, if you don't give the Kohen Zerol Chai Vekeva, but instead you eat it yourself. So, of course, you should not do that. This is one of the manos kahuna. Of course, you have to give it to the Kohen. But if you eat it yourself, are you going to be financially liable? And Rav Chista taught us towards the beginning of the parak on Kuf Lamed Amud Beis that you are not financially liable. The reason why you're not financially liable, although the Gemara gives two reasons, but I'm just focusing right now on the second reason, is because it's mamashein lotovim. It's because there's no real claimant against this. You're obligated to give it to the Kohanim, but not any particular Kohen. No one Kohen can come over to you and say that he actually is the owner of this item. It's mamashein lotovim, and therefore you're not going to be financially liable if, in fact, you consume it. The second big issue that we discussed, and we're coming around to the end of the discussion, is going to be whether or not a Levi is responsible to give the Matnas Kahuna. Why would he or why wouldn't he? So on one hand, he's not a Kohen, but on the other hand, he may not fall under the category of Am. In other words, the Torah, when describing this this obligation, this requirement of giving the Matnas Kahuna, so the Torah says it's coming from the Am, it's coming from the nation. Is Levi considered part and parcel of the Am? So certainly they are part and parcel of the Am vis-a-vis all marital halachas, certainly they're part and parcel of Am. That Mishnah, that first Mishnah of the fourth parak of Kedushin, describes how they are certainly part of the nation. That goes without saying. On the other hand, however, we know that in other areas of halacha, they're not considered part of the Am. They don't get territory in Eretz Yisrael. They don't get a chelik of Eretz Yisrael. And as we'll see in the course of this morning's daf, really the end of yesterday's daf, so in other areas of halacha, they're also not considered Am. So therefore, are they responsible to give Matnas Kahuna? So Rav yesterday said we're in a state of suffix. Now Rav was offended by one particular Levi who not only didn't give Matnas Kahuna, but in fact he took others Matnas Kahuna. So he says that Levi obviously went way too far. But in other words, but Rav was in a state of suffix whether they're considered part of the Am or they are not considered part of the Am. So that's the discussion that we had yesterday, and as we're going to see in the course of today's daf, that in fact is the halacha. The halacha is suffix. We don't know. We don't know if Levi is part or not considered part of Am, and because of a suffix, so we're not going to take Zerol Chai Vekeva from them. Zerol Chai Vekeva, Manos Kahuna, is really interesting in that it does not have Kedusha like Truma, meaning if a Kohen wanted to invite us over and he just received the portion of Zerol Chai Vekeva, and he invited us to sit down at a dinner table with us, so there'd be no problem whatsoever, meaning we'd be allowed to sit down with him. It does not have Kedusha. In this regard, it's not like Challah, it's not like Truma. It doesn't have Kedusha. Zar is not prohibited from eating it. So we would be allowed to eat it with him. So whenever you have a doubt, a suffix, whether or not you're obligated or not obligated, so it really now becomes just a mamonos issue. And we know the halacha regarding mamonos. It's rule number one when it comes to mamonos. Hamotzich mechaver ol avaraya. That if somebody is in fact going to be able to extract money from somebody else, so you need to know that you are in fact actually owed and obligated the money. Because over here, according to Rav, there's a suffix whether or not a Levi is obligated to give it, so then he does not have to give it because once there's a suffix created by a mamonos, issue amotzi mechaver ol avaraya. This is what we've been covering in the last couple of days since the beginning of the 10th Perek. Let's pick it up right where we left off yesterday. Tashma. Tashma is right in the middle of the Amud. The first words of the line is Neo-Ratius, I guess. The Gemara now is going to try to see whether or not Levi is considered part and parcel of the Am. Anything which has Kedusha, like Truma and Trumas Meiser, and Chala Motzino Sami Yadam, we extract from them. But something that does not have Kedusha, Kigon Hazor Lechai Vekeva, Ein Motzino Sami Yadam, Kigon, I'm sorry, Ein Motzino Sami Yadam. So the Braisa here, seemingly very clear, tells us that something like Zor Lechai Vekeva, we don't take from them. The them over here, the subject of this Braisa is the Levim, and we don't take it from them. Okay, so the Braisa can't be any clearer. So the Gemara gives an answer. Now this answer should sound familiar because this is the exact same answer that we gave in yesterday's daf at the end of yesterday's Braisa. So Kigon Zroa Velo Zroa. So the Gemara says even though the Braisa says like Zroa, but the Braisa didn't actually mean Zroa. Umainihu Maisa Rishon. Ulabasa de Kantino Ezra. So we're talking about Maisa Rishon after Ezra made a Takana. As you remember in yesterday's daf, we talked about how when they made Aliyah to build the second base of Mikdash, so Ezra came up. Not many Jews came up with him, right? 42,000, right? It was a really small number of Jews that came up together with Ezra, and the Levium themselves did not come together with Ezra. So consequently, Ezra made a Gzera, made a Takana that the Maaser Rishon, which normally goes to Levium, are now instead going to go to the Kohanim. This is the Kenas of Ezra. And so after this point in time, you are supposed to give your Maaser Rishon over to a Kohen. But once the Maaser Rishon is in the hands of a Levi, so we don't extract it from their hands. That's the point of the Braisa. But the Braisa is not talking about Zor Lechai Vekeva, and so therefore does not necessarily weigh in our discussion. Tashma, the Gemara quotes another Braisa, Ashoch Lekon Lovi Kochavim, Patamanat Matanos. If you shecht on behalf of either a Kohen or a non-Jew, so you do not need to give Matanos. Meaning, as we're going to be learning in the course of today's daf, who is the one actually responsible to give the Matanos? Meaning, we know who's obligated for the Matanos. The obligation of Matanos is on the Am, it's on the nation. But in terms of the person who is the first person handling the animal, that's the Shochet. So it becomes now the Shochet's responsibility to actually give the Matanos. If the Shochet is shechting an animal that belongs to a Kohen or to a non-Jew, so then there's no obligation of Manas Kahuna. It sounds extraordinarily reasonable, sounds correct. Now the Diuk over here also is very clear. Who's exempt? Only when the animal is owned by either a Kohen or by a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, so it sounds now pretty clear that if the animal is owned by either anyone short of a Kohen, which of course is Levi Yisrael, so then there is an obligation. And once again, the simple reading of the Braisa is that a Levi is in fact obligated to give Matnos. So lo tema halalevi liyisrael chayev, ala ema halayisrael chayev. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's just modify the diuk. The inference is just simply, a Yisrael is not obligated to give Matanos. Avalevi my potter. So the Gemara says, okay, and you're telling me now that if the owner of the animal would be a Levi, so then you'd be exempt. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. If a Levi does not have to give, the Braisa should have said it, because that's the bigger Chiddush. And we always expect the Braisa to give the bigger Chiddush. So then, obviously, the Braisa should have said that if a person shechting on behalf of a Levi, the animal belonged by a Levi, so then you don't have to give Matanos. That's the bigger Chiddush. And on top of that, aside from that, in of itself, that's already a very strong question. And then the Gemara quotes another Braisa, and this Braisa says very clearly that the animal that is owned by a Levi, you are obligated to give Matanos, so Tiyufta Derav. So this is going to be a challenge of Rav, and not only a challenge, but Tiyufta, refutation of Rav. Amalacha Rav Tanaihi. So Rav will say, look, you're right. Those Braises you quoted me are going to be running against my position. I, on the other hand, have very strong support because I know it's a Machlokis Tanaim. Detanya, the Gemara quotes now the following. This is the beginning of Parshas Acharei Moses. This is talking about the Karbanos that are brought on Yom Kippur, and they're going to be providing kapara. So, v'chiper es mikdash hakodesh, zelifnei v'lifnim, and the karbanos that are brought on Yom Kippur are providing kapara, and what we're basically doing is we're breaking down the pasuk and describing exactly which aspects the karban is going to be mechaper. So when it says mikdash hakodesh, that's a reference to the kodesh hakodashim, meaning in the event that anyone walked in and was metame and walked in the state of tama into this area, Oamoed Zuhechal. The Oamoed is referring to the actual edifice of the based on Mikdash, Mizbech Kamashmao. The Mizbech obviously is a reference to the Mizbech. Yechaper Elo Azaros, Kohanim Kamashmao. Yechaper is a reference to the Azara, to the courtyards. The Kohanim are a reference to the Kohanim. Im Hakahal, Elo Yisrael. Yechaper Elo Levim. So we have over here now in our first Braisa, the word Am covering whom? So the word Am is covering Yisrael and not the Levim. Okay, so that's one Braisa. So now we have locked in one Braisa that clearly puts whom under the category of Am, only Yisrael, not the Levim. Tanya Yidach, the Gemara quotes another Braisa. Yichaper Elo Avadim. The word Yichaper is covering the Avadim. Avadim meaning, and who is considered part and parcel of the Am? So Yisrael v'Levim. So my law b'hakim elchugi the marsav yikru am marsav alokir am. So the Gemara says so clearly. What is that issue over here? Is are Levim considered part of the Am? Or are they not considered part of the Am? So what we've just expressed is now it's a machlokas hatanayim. Good. We've established that. Now as far as Rav is concerned, v'Rav isvir lekaitan alema v'isvir lekaitam alema. So as far as Rav is concerned, so it's a machlokas tanayim. So why not take a side? In other words, paskin. So the Gemara answers very simply, Misafka le'ihaki ika haitana, ika haitana. Rav, knowing it's a machlokas tanaim, and he himself not having a conclusive position in terms of which way to go, so therefore, he remains in a state of suffik. Ad kan, that brings us to the end of the discussion of the Gemara regarding, is a Levi obligated to give matnos, the matanos of Zor l'chai v'keva? And as far as Rav is concerned, the answer is, it's a suffik. And because it's a suffik, and because it's a monetary issue, ha-motzi mechaver olavaraya, we're not going to take it from them. The Gemara concludes, darish mereimer, hilchasa, kavase derav hilchasa, kavase derav chista. So the Gemara says, as far as the halachas are concerned, the first two topics that are discussed here in the 10th parak of the Masechta, so the halach is going to follow like both positions, like Rav Chista's position and like Rav's position. To review, Rav Chista's position is that in the event that someone eats the matanos instead of giving it to the Kohen, although he should not have done that, he was mevatel mitzvahs esseh, he just simply ignored a positive commandment, but yet in terms of financial liability, he is not going to be liable to make compensation. Either it's a drasha, like we discussed in the beginning of the parak, or it's based on Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. As far as the halach of Rav is concerned, we're not going to go over to a Levi, and we're not going to demand the matanos be given by an animal of a Levi, a chulin animal of a Levi, having been shechted. The matanos are not going to go to the Kohen, because we hold like Rav. Rav says, is Levi considered part of the Am? We know the Am is obligated in the mitzvah of matanos. Is Levi part and parcel of the Am? Rav, on this issue, is in a state of suffolk, and because this is strictly a monetary issue, hamotzi mechaveru alavaraya, and we're not going to extract the matanos from a Levi. Adkan, that takes us really to the end of yesterday's daf. New topic of discussion. Ula hava yasev matanta lekahanta. Now, Ula would give these matanos, the Zor l'chai v'keva, and he would give it to a bas kohen. He would be giving it to a bas kohen, and take a look at the Rashi over here. Bas kohen, afilu, and now we have in the Rashi eshes ish, but we can make the emendation on the side of the Rashi. Afilu eshes Yisrael. So you can give it to a kohen, even a kohenis, even if she's currently married to Yisrael. Now let's consider the, and we don't even have to think that hard, by the way, because Rashi spells out the Chiddush over here. The kaven de kedusha leis lehu, the einan asur lazarim, harei mataris bahem, velo dam letruma, ve'imishum v'nasan lekohen, kasover afilo kohenis mashma. So Rashi over here says, let's take the following into consideration. I'll amplify Rashi's point. If I had truma, so who am I obligated to give the truma to? A kohen. Again, the kohen of my choice. I have tovas hana'a. I can decide which kohen to give it to, but I give it to a kohen. Now, truma has kedusha. So that means to say that the only one who's allowed to eat truma is only going to be a kohen or any of the kinyan kaspo or any of the acquisitions of a kohen. So that means to say his wife, this is not a point of objectifying. It's just simply that's how the Torah describes the nature of the relationship between a husband and wife. So it includes his wife, it includes his children, includes his avadim. They're all allowed to eat truma. A non-kohen is prohibited from eating truma, meaning there's a serious iser aspect to the consumption of truma by non-kohen. If a non-kohen were to be eating truma, that's misa b'dei shamayim. It's a very serious offense for a non-kohen to eat truma. So therefore, when you have the truma, you give it only to a kohen. Can I give it to a bas kohen? Well, it depends. Meaning, if she's only the daughter of the kohen, but she's not married to Yisrael, so the answer is yes. However, Once she's married to Yisrael, so you cannot give her truma. In of itself, the Nesina was a good Nesina. However, she's married to Yisrael, and then you're putting basically her husband in a serious position of consuming the truma. So therefore, because by truma there is an Isser aspect to it, you can't give it to a Bas Kohen while she's married to an Ishus Kohen. Now, the rules, we learned all these back in Yavamos. The rules get a little bit complicated because what after she gets a divorce, can she return back to her parents' house and eating truma? Depends whether she had a child or she didn't have a child. Okay, so it gets a little bit complicated once she marries the Yisrael. However, there's an Isser aspect of it. While she's married to Yisrael, you absolutely cannot give her truma. It's prohibited from giving her truma. On the other hand, when we're talking about the matanos, so as we've discussed already, there are no kedusha towards the matanos. The matanos are just simply financial obligations that every member of the nation are supposed to give to the Kohen. But there's no kedusha aspect to it. So can you give it to a Bas Kohen? The answer is yes. Can you give it to a Bas Kohen while she's married to Yisrael? So what we're learning together now is that Ula is of the opinion, yes, you're allowed to. Aren't you supposed to give it to a Kohen? You did. You gave it to a Kohen. When you're a Bas Kohen, you are a member of the tribe of the Kohanim. Now, even though you're married to Yisrael, you're still a Bas Kohen. You wouldn't be giving truma to a Bas Kohen who is an Eishes Yisrael. Yeah, that's correct. But that's because there's an Isser aspect to it. Over here, there's no Isser aspect to it. And so therefore, you are perfectly entitled to do so. Now, what Ula is really saying, and Rashi's saying this, I'm just amplifying, what Ula is really saying is that the Torah's requirement that you have to give it to a Kohen, a Bas Kohen is a Kohen. Even if she's married to Yisrael, she still falls under the category of Kohen, and you have fulfilled your obligation of Matanos. So the Gemara continues along this idea. Eisvei Rava Le'ula. So Rava challenges Ula based on the following. Minchas Kohen is Nechalas, Minchas Kohen, Eino Nechalas. And it's such a strong question. And we know, going back to the world of Menachos, so we know that when it comes to a Mincha, there's a very basic distinction between a Mincha offered by a Kohen versus a Mincha offered by Yisrael. If a carbon Mincha is offered by Yisrael, so what happens? A Kohen who is working in the Beis HaMikdash doing the Avodah, so he'll take a fistful of the Mincha and burn it on the top of the Mizbeach, right? That's the Kometz, which is burnt on the top of the Mizbeach, and the rest of the Mincha are going to be eaten by Zichrei Kohuna in the Azara. Okay, it's Kodesh Kadashim. Good, we know that. What if a Mincha is offered by a Kohen? So we also know the Halacha. The Torah is very clear about this. Kulo taktar. It's totally burnt on the Mizbeach. You do take off a Mincha, but you also take the Shirayim, and you take both of them and you burn them on the top of the Mizbeach. Good. So the Halachas are very clear. What if a Kohenis, a Bas Kohen, were to bring a Mincha? Oh, so this would really draw the line in the sand in terms of, is she a Kohen or is she not a Kohen? Vis-a-vis these Halachas. And the Braisa is very clear. Minchas Kohenis ne'echalos, Minchas Kohen eno ne'echalos. So the Braisa could not be any clearer that if a Bas Kohen were offering a carbon Mincha, so we treat it like a Minchas Yisrael. Isn't it now a slam dunk? It's very clear that a Bas Kohen vis-a-vis these halachas are not considered like a Kohen. So the Gemara now articulates the question, but the question really is obvious. The Torah tells us what happens when a mincha is offered by a Kohen. It's totally burnt on the Mizbeach. And meanwhile, the Bryce is telling me about a distinction made between a Kohen versus a Kohenis, and the mincha of a Kohenis is treated like Yisrael. Okay, so what more is there to talk about? So Amar Lei Rebbe Mituncha. So he says back to him in response, Ula's now, this is Ula's defense. He says, Mituncha. Basically, from your bundle. Meaning, your Braisa is not a kash against me. Your Braisa is a raya. Your question is exactly the opposite of what you thought it was. And that is the following. Aaron Uvanov Ksuvim Beparsha. Meaning, consider that the reason why by a mincha, we're going to make a distinction whether the mincha is offered by a Kohen versus a Kohenis, is because the Torah says, Aaron Uvanov. Meaning, where's the default stand? A default stands on the fact that when we're talking about a Kohen in general, a Kohen includes a Kohen and a Kohenis. Whether you're a Ben Kohen or a Bas Kohen, you are in general are a Kohen. Specific to mincha, the Torah makes a distinction between a Kohen and Kohenis, which means that the default setting is generally a Kohenis is like a Kohen. So when the question arises, well, the Torah tells me that I have to give the Matanos to a Kohen. Well, who falls under the category of Kohen? As long as we're not talking about the halachas of Mincha, the answer is, I give it to either Kohen or Kohenis. It only happens to be that by Mincha, the Torah goes out of its way to make a distinction between a Kohen versus a Bas Kohen. Good. So that's the back and forth between Ula and Rava on this very topic of, is a Kohenis fall under the category of a Kohen? Again, when I say Kohenis, I mean a Bas Kohen. The Bei Rebbe... It won't. In other words, it won't take away the fact that she's a Kohenis.
I can see she's married to Yisrael. You're going to treat her like Yisrael.
No, but in other words, but that's exactly the point of Ula, meaning that for halachas of Truma, you're correct. You're absolutely correct. But for the halachas Zor L'Chai V'Keva, there is absolutely no need to worry about giving her the Zor L'Chai V'Keva. Meaning you gave it to a Kohen. She's married to Yisrael. So what? It's just a monetary issue. Let's continue. Debate Rabbi Yishmael Tana, Kohen v'lo Kohenis. Now, Debate Rabbi Yishmael argues with Ula. Now, that's a strange sentence because Ula is an Amora, right? Debate Rabbi Yishmael presumably is a Tana. So it's a little bit interesting to pit Ula against the Tana, but we're going to do that. The Gemara is going to do that. So Debate Rabbi Yishmael says no. Kohen v'lo Kohenis v'yilamot sasum min ha'mefurish, meaning exactly what Ula argued, we're arguing the opposite. By a carbon mincha, now that we know that there's a distinction between a Kohen versus a Kohenes, a mincha's Kohen is to be kulo taktar, totally burnt. Mincha's Kohenes is to be treated like a mincha's Yisrael. And that now gives us the precedent that sets the stage for the rest of the halachas. When the Torah requires that I give it to a Kohen, it has to specifically be a Ben Kohen and not a Bas Kohen. And this is now obviously against the position of Ula. And then the Gemara says, and we're not done yet, Debei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Tana Kohen v'afilo Kohenes, Havei Mirach Amir v'ein Mirach Amir, Ela l'Rabos. Now, Debei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov agrees with Ula. It may be there's a subtle distinction between Ula and Debei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, but still, as far as Matanos are concerned, the point is the same. Since the Torah says the words Kohen, and not only says the word Kohen, but says it twice, Kohen Acher Kohen, so that is one miut followed by another miut. And one of the methods of drasha that we go over time and again is Ein Mirachamir Ela L'Rabos. When the Torah gives an exclusion followed by another exclusion, it's like multiplying two negatives. So you end up with an inclusion, and that means to say that we include even a Bas Kohen as well. Now again, it's not exactly the same as Ula. Ula says that default setting is a Kohenist and a Kohen are one and the same, Mincha being the exclusion. Over here, in the way Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov is saying it, is that we only have this double exclusion, i.e. inclusion, only by Matanos and not by other areas. But be that as it may, he agrees with Ula that when it comes to Matanos, if I gave it to a Bas Kohen, even if she's married to an Eishes Yisrael, so that would in fact be totally okay. You're fulfilling your mitzvah in doing so. Rav Kahana Acha B'Shvil Ishto. Now Rav Kahana, who ironically was not a Kohen. Now in terms of the identity of Rav Kahana, so Tosos says it is a little bit confusing because sometimes in Shas you're going to find a Rav Kahana who is a Kohen, sometimes you're going to find a Rav Kahana who is not a Kohen. So Tosos says that's fine, meaning there could be multiple Rav Kahanas amongst the Amoraim. So you just have to keep your Rav Kahana straight. Tosos aligns our Rav Kahana under discussion with the Rav Kahana, the famous Rav Kahana that is described at the end of Baba Kama, where the story of the Moser, and Rav Kahana kills the Moser and gets exiled to Eretz Yisrael. I know that's a funny sentence, but it's a correct sentence. You're right. So Rav Kahana is not a Kohen. He's married to a Kohen, and he basically says, thank you very much, I'll take the Matanos. He takes it on behalf of his wife who is an Eishes Kohen, his wife who is a Bas Kohen. Okay, good, important clarification. His wife who is a Bas Kohen. Now, again, he's subscribing to the viewpoint of Ula, meaning that his wife is entitled to the Matanos, and he basically said, good. Now that I'm married to privilege, in this regard, by the way, privilege, so in terms of Matanos, so now that I'm married to privilege, so thank you very much, I'll take it on behalf of my wife. It sounds like from the Gemara, by the way, like his wife didn't even be the recipient of it, meaning just by virtue of the fact that he's married to her is enough of an entitlement. Simple reading of the Gemara. Rav Papa Acha B'Shvil Ishto, Rav Yemer Acha B'Shvil Ishto, and he wasn't the only one who used this maneuver of you're married to a Bas Kohen and you subscribe to Ula, so all these Amorim basically accepted the Matanos on behalf of their wife. Rav Idi Bar Avin Acha B'Shvil Ishto. Okay, and one more Amora to boot. Four Amorim in total, eight the matanos on account of their wife, received the matanos and ate them on account of their wife. Am Ravina Amrle Mareim or Hilchse Kavase de Rav Hilchse Kavase de Rav Chista, Vilchse Kavase de Ula Vilchse Kavase de Rav Adaba Ava Levia Shialda Benapata Mechamishalayim. And the Gemara gives us another series of halachic psak or piske halacha, four in a row. Number one, the halacha is like Rav, that goes back to what we discussed in the beginning of Shir today, the idea that the Levi having to give the matanos is subject to a suffix, whether the Levi falls under the category of Amari does not, and therefore Amotzi Mechaver Al Averaya, you do not collect the matanos from a Levi. Hilchasa Karvasta Derav Chista, that was the first discussion we had in our Masechta, in our Perek, regarding whether or not if you eat the matanos, which you were not entitled to do, you're supposed to give it to a Kohen. Is there financial liability? Rav Chisda says there's no financial liability. Hilchasa Kavase de Ula, the halacha falls like Ula, that if you give your matanos to a bas kohen, even while married to Yisrael, you have fulfilled your mitzvah, your obligation of giving the matanos to a kohen. A kohen and a kohenis are one and the same. And Hilchasa Kavase de Rav Adaba Ava. And a fourth halacha, which quite frankly has nothing to do with our perek, but it thematically fits in to these discussions. Levi Shialda, if you have a bas Levi who married a Yisrael, and she gives birth, and so now is the firstborn going to be considered a Bechor? So here's what we know. If you're a Yisrael, and you married a bas Yisrael, and you have a child, so obviously your firstborn is going to be a Bechor, and therefore, Pidyon, you have to redeem. In fact, the next Masechta, which we're starting in a little over a week from today, so it's going to be dedicated. One of the issues is going to be dedicated to this topic, the halacha of Pidyon HaBechor. So, and also a big theme as in terms of Pesach is concerned. So if the mother is a Bas Kohen and the father is Yisrael, so there the child is not a Bechor. What if the mother is a Bas Levi, right? Or a Levia, and she gives birth and she's married to Yisrael. Is that son going to be requiring a pidyon haben? So as we're going to see together in Bechoros, this is subject to a debate. However, the Gemara says, we paskin like Rav Adar Ba'ava, Levi Yishiyal Debena Potem Echam Mishalayim. If the mother is a Leviya, she's a Bas Levi, that's enough to exempt the child from Kedushas Bechor, and the father does not have to be Podem. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara starts off now the following discussion. Let us get the basics down. The basics are very simple. The requirement of Zolachai Vekeva only comes from a behema, not a chaya. When the Torah, we went through the psukim, the beginning of the parak, when the Torah describes the obligation to give the Zolachai Vekeva, the Torah says, shor miseh. In terms of the animals that are described in the Torah, there clearly are behemas, not chayos. And so what we're going to be having in our Gemara right now is the classic discussion we had earlier in the Masechta about what about crossbreeds? What if you have an animal that is crossbred between mother and father, one being a behemah and the other one being a chaya? And what would be the obligation, if any, of the requirement of giving the matanos Zor L'Chai V'Keva of this crossbred animal? So Zor L'Chai V'Keva nohagim b'klaim b'v'koy. So according to the Tanakhama, if the offspring is from Kalaim, now Kalaim over here, where mom and dad, the mother and the father, are both behemos, so then, obviously, there is a requirement of giving matanos, and even a koi as well. Now, a koi is a crossbred animal. Now, again, the identity of a koi, so it always becomes confusing, because, quite frankly, the Gemara has a debate regarding what exactly is a koi. Now, according to some opinions in the Gemara, it's a birya b'fnei atzma, it's its own independent entity. It's not a crossbreed, but we're going to be assuming in our discussion, in our Gemara, that we're describing right now a crossbred animal between a behema and a chaya. So according to the Tanakhama, it is a crossbred animal of a behema and a chaya, and it's going to be obligated in matanos. And Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Kalaim Haba min Ha'ezem min Ha'rachel Chayav, but matanos? So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, if we're talking about the crossbred animal where both the mother and the father are both falling under the category of behema, then for sure you're obligated in the matanos. However, min hatayishu min tzviya. Now, in our Gemara, let's flip around the girsa as recommended by the editors on the side. So let's say it's min hatayasha umin tzvi. Mother is a behema, father is a chaya. So pater min matanos, so then you're going to be exempt from giving matanos. Okay. We clearly have over here a machlokis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer, and the Gemara now explains. Michti. Okay. Now, we already went through this regarding Kisur Adam, and as far as Matanos is concerned, so the discussion we're having is specifically where the father is a Chaya, and the mother is a Behema, right? The deer is a Chaya, a Tayasha is a female goat, it's a Behema. I'm just going to keep it simple. Let's just simply say, dad is a Chaya, and mom is a Behema. Now, Bein le Rebbe Lazer, Bein le Rabbanu Misafkelu, Yichoshin le Zeravi, Yichoshin. As far as dad's input is concerned, we're not talking about the biological input in terms of sexual reproduction. That's a necessity. We're talking about the halachic input. When dad is a chaya, so is he inserting any of his halachic status into the offspring? So this is a question of choshen lezerav or ain choshen lezerav. Are we halachically concerned for the father's input? And the answer is subject to a debate. And we're going to be assuming right now in our discussion that it is it's a suffix. I mean, right now we're straddling the fence of whether we are or we're not concerned about the father's input. Good. So now what do I have over here? I have a crossbreed. Dad is a chaya, mom is a behema. This offspring now may or may not be a hybrid. Now, if we're worried about the father's input, then the offspring is a hybrid. If we're not worried about the father's input, then the offspring is a purebred. And a purebred behema. Because again, we're straddling whether we're choshesh or we're not choshesh. If we're not choshesh, so then the only halachic input that is significant is the mother's, and then that means this offspring is strictly a behema. Good. So, in terms of this offspring, it's either 100% behema, which would be obligated matanos, or it's 50% behema, which would somewhat be obligated matanos. Now, hold that thought for just a moment. And then there's another issue to take into consideration. Now, in terms of what is at the core of the debate over here, it goes as follows. We know the Torah says that when you have a seh, you're obligated to give matanos. The question arises, does that mean it has to be 100% purebred seh? Or, even if it is, let's say even 50% seh, maybe still there's an obligation of giving matanos. Does the Torah, we know the Torah requires matanos to come from a seh. Does that mean purebred or even a cross? Now, Mar Sever Sev Afilu Mixa Sev Lo Aminan. And this is exactly the debate over here. So, as far as the offspring is concerned of this particular scenario, dad is a chaya, mom is a behema. Now, the offspring is one of two options, either 100% behema or 50-50 behema chaya. And now what is at the core of the debate over here is that if the Torah, not if, because the Torah requires me to give my matanas for my seh, is the Torah requiring a matana, a distribution only when it's 100% seh, or even if it's only 50% seh? This is a debate between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanakhama is of the opinion that even if it's just 50% seh, you're still obligated. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, no. Only when it's 100% seh, then and only then are you obligated. Now the Gemara says, now let's think this through. Bishlam Rabbi Eliezer Tapata Kesev Sev Lo Mixa Seh. So as far as the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, I get it. Because we may be in a position where you're not obligated at all. Okay, good. And like we've said time and again when it comes to the matanos, and we're going to say it again, if there's at least one possibility that I'm not obligated at all, so then I'm not obligated, Bechlal. Hamotzi Mechavera Lavaraya. Because this is strictly a monetary issue. There is no Isser in Kedusha when it comes to the Matanos. And so therefore, as long as there's a possibility that I don't owe it, so it's not going to be taken away from me. It's not extracted from me. Good. That's the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Just give me one moment. Let's just finish the thought. El Rabbanan. But let's consider now the position of the Chachamim. Nihidah Kasar Visev V'afilu Mitzah Seh. So Pagal Ushkol V'idach Pagal Lema Lei Aisi Rayadein Choshin Lezerav Ushkol. But the question really comes down to the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim say, as far as the father's input, suffik. As far as the requirement to give matanos, sev afilu mixa seh. Okay, so that's true. All that's true. But the Gemara says, but let's take the following into consideration. 50% of the matanos, I'm absolutely obligated to give. Concede. But the other 50%, remember, the starting point of the whole discussion is we may or may not consider the input of the father. And so on the side that we may be considering the input of the father, well, that means then that half this animal is coming from a chaya, and for that half that's coming from a chaya, there simply is no obligation to give them matanos. Now, we may not be considering the input of the father, so then I'd be giving 100% of the matanos. So as far as the first 50% is concerned, no debate, no doubt, according to the Chachamim. I owe that. But the second 50%, we have a suffix regarding the second 50%. And again, you're going to come after me now for the full matanos. Hamotzi mechaveir ala varaya. So Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya, my chayev nami deka Amar chayev bechatzi matanos. So the Gemara says, okay, so your logic is perfect. You're arguing beautifully, and you're absolutely correct. When the Chachamim say you're chayev, the Chachamim actually mean you're chayev in half. Now, Mesiv Rav Zera, koi yesh bo derachim shav labehema, v'yesh bo derachim shav lachaya, v'yesh bo derachim shav lachaya labehema. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa describing the koi. How does it behave? Well, sometimes it behaves like a behema. Well, I'm not talking about behavior. I'm talking about halachically. Sometimes it behaves like a behema, sometimes like a chai, and sometimes like both. Explanation, the Braisa gives it. Ketzad, chelbo asur kechel behema. Well, we're not going to eat the chelv of the koi, because again, on the side that it may be a behema, the chelv of a behema is iser gamor. It's an iser kares. So on this koi, that's a safek. So safek iser l'chumra. Safek iser daraisa l'chumra. Now, v'damu chayv l'chasos bedam. Now, and as far as the covering of the blood, so we're going to cover the blood because it may be a chaya, and we know the dam of a chaya needs to be covered. So here we're going to cover it as well. Derachim shavim lebehema lechaya. So now we've looked at how it sometimes behaves like a behema, and sometimes like a chaya, and sometimes like both. How shadam of a gido asurim kebehema v'chaya. As far as the blood and gido nasha are concerned, they're going to be asur like a behema and chaya. Meaning, very simply, dam and gid anasha of both are going to be asur. So therefore, this koi, so whichever side you want to put it with, the dam and the gid anasha are going to be asur. V'chayev b'zor l'chayim v'akeva. And you're going to be obligated to give zor l'chayim v'akeva revela zepoter. Okay. And then the braisa ends off with our machlokas. Good. We know the machlokas. But the Gemara just wonders, let's say you're right. According to the Chachamim, you're chayev. But chayev over here means only 50% of the matanos. Wouldn't this have been a perfect opportunity for the Chachamim to explain that? V'im Isa, chay b'chatz matanos mibayilei. Why didn't the Braisa make that clear? So the Gemara says, okay, I did the tani chaba v'dama d'lamasi chatzi, chatzi mishum ha'chilokat tani chatzi. Well, if you looked at the flow of the Braisa, and remember, whenever putting together a Braisa, they wanted flow in the Braisa because the Braisas were all committed to memory. So they wanted a flow in the Braisa. Since the earlier part of the Braisa, there's no chatzi chatzi. Is the blood usher? Well, maybe half the blood is usher. That's an absurd statement. You can't say that. It's not true. All the blood is usher. So since the Braisa was already dealing on a binary level of either isser or mutter, so therefore, as we get to the end of the Braisa, even though according to the Chachamim, you're not chayiv in all of the matanos, you're only chayiv in half the matanos of a koi, but because we've been discussing Isser v'heter on a binary standpoint, so therefore the end of the Braisa speaks in the same way, even though the truth be told, and when you think it through, it works out perfectly, you only chayiv on half of the matanos. Continuing in the Gemara, we're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're almost up to the next Mishnah. Ki asa Rav Nama Rav Yochanan, koila Rabban Chai b'kula matanos. So, when Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, he quotes b'shem Rav Yochanan, that as far as the koi is concerned, so you're going to be obligated in all the matanos. Detanya shor matamalamer imshor l'rabos es aklayim, se matamalamer imshor l'rabos es akoi. So over here in Rav Yochanan's understanding of the Chachamim, so here we don't have to do any kind of a fancy footwork. The Chachamim are actually subscribing to the viewpoint that you are fully obligated for all the matanos. Why? And the answer is very simple. It's a drasha. Meaning we have the word im, and im is open to drasha. Now, and it includes even the koi. Rabbi Elazar, hi, im lamali. Okay, good. So why, according to Rabbi Elazar, what is he going to do with the drasha? Obviously, it is an extra word. It's open for drasha. So mi ba'ale lechalek. So it means to say that we're coming to divide the shor and the seh. Meaning that if I only shechted one of those two animals, I'm still going to be obligated matanos. And the requirement of matanos is not only in a situation where I necessarily shecht both. V'rabban lechalek minalehu. So nafkalu me'es zovchei hazevach. Now, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, I don't need a drasha for individual animals, because the Torah says zovchei hazevach. If I shecht one of these animals, so the Torah already makes perfectly clear that by shechting one of these animals, one would be obligated to matanos. Rabbi Elazar, hi mei zovchei hazevach mayavilei. So mei bayle lechaderav adamareva hadin imatabach. Now, as far as Rabbi Elazar is concerned, he agrees im zovchei hazevach, but that's there to teach us a different halacha. Notably, the responsibility of giving the matanos is incumbent upon the shochet, the tabach, which we're going to be discussing in much greater detail as we start our next sugya. We're in the very bottom of Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, and we're starting now the next Mishnah. Bechor shenizar ben mea. I have a bechor that gets mixed in with 100 other animals. Okay, tarovis. Okay, one of our favorite topics. Let's remind each other. When it comes to bechor, bechor obviously has kedusha. Now, it is supposed to be brought off as a carbon. And that becomes obviously a very big sticking point, because if it's supposed to be brought as a carbon, so before we get on to the Zor L'chai V'keva issue, which is, you know, a detail, so there's a much bigger issue. I have a carbon that got mixed in with all these other animals. So aren't these all these other animals now suffic carbon? And so what are we having a discussion of Zor L'chai V'keva? And what you have to say, and when I say you have to say it, meaning Tosa says it, Akarcha Tosos writes, you have to say that we're talking about where these animals are bali mumim. They're all blemished animals. And so the case over here, admittedly, is slightly absurd in that you were talking about a case where a bechor gets mixed in with 100 other animals. All of them have blemishes, and we're going to, have to add, they all have the same blemish. Because in this case of Tarovis, I can't identify one over another. So the point the Gemara is about to make is not, or the Mishnah, I should say better, is, in other words, don't get wrapped up in the case, because the case is unlikely, but, thank you, the case is unlikely, but the point is, however, is what do we do under these circumstances of Tarovis? So we're talking about a bechor that's a blemished animal. Now, as a bechor, so even as a blemished animal, so it is no requirement to Zor L'chai V'keva. Why? So Kedusha is not Chal on Kedusha, an idea that we've expressed ourselves a number of times since the beginning. It is so interesting and confusing in terms of Zor L'chai V'keva, meaning we're calling it Kedusha, even though we have learned in the course of this morning alone that you can give it to a Bas Kohen who's married to Yisrael because there's no Kedusha. So is the Zor L'chai V'keva have Kedusha? The answer is no. And then the answer is yes. Okay, good. So there's a there's a dualism as it relates to the Zor L'chai V'keva. And so point being is that when it comes to an animal which is a Bechor, there's no Zor L'chai V'keva requirement. By all other animals which are chulin, obviously there are a Zor L'chai V'keva requirement. And now when I have this tarovis, so now we have a situation of suffix. And even though the numbers favor the Kohen, meaning the Kohen's going to look at me and the Kohen's going to say, one exempt animal is mixed in with 100 obligated animals, and now you're going to tell me, you're not giving it to me? And the Mishnah is going to say, that's exactly correct. In other words, vis-a-vis hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya, this suffix creates enough of a suffix where the person does not have to give the Zor L'chai V'keva. Now that, in of itself, that already is extraordinarily interesting. The numbers are favoring the Kohen, but still, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. B'chor shenizar b'meah b'zman shemeah shochten, es kulan potrin es kulan. Okay, so, if you have 100 different people shechting these 100 different animals, so each one now could say to the Kohen, look, you can't prove to me that the animal that I shechted is an obligated animal in Matanos. It may be the exempted one. Hamotzi mechaver olav araya. Sorry. Echad. Now, it could be. Now, the Mishnah doesn't say this.
What about the fact that if it's a bechor, they have to give it anyway?
So again, yeah, that we go back to Tosfos. We're talking about it's a bechor ba'mum. It was given to a Kohen. He then, in turn, either gave it to somebody else, which he's entitled to do, or shechted and eat it. In any event, we're not talking about the classic Bechor. You're right. Now, the only point the Mishnah was making is that it's one exempt animal mixed in with 99 obligated animals, and with that, you could still claim an exemption because of the rule of Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. Okay, let's just leave the point in of itself. In of itself, it's already it's a lot to take into consideration. Echad Shochet is Kulam Pochin Lo Echad. Now, let's say all 100 animals are owned by one person. So now the Kohen comes over and says, okay, look, I'm going to give you a pass on one of the animals, but the other 99 animals, you're obligated to Zor L'chai V'keva, and you can't claim exemption because all these animals belong to you, so I'll give you a pass on one of the animals, but the other 99, obviously, you're obligated. I'm sorry for confusing you with the example that I'm giving, right? Where the Kohen is demanding. In other words, even if the Kohen's not demanding, the person is obligated. Okay, it's my fault. I give a narrative and I give narration to the whole situation. The point the Mishnah is making is that if one person owns all these animals, and even though there's a tarovus, and even though he's exempt from one of them, but that's only one of them, but the other 99, he's obligated. So if you are shechting, and the owner of the animal is either a kohen or a novi kochavim, so there's no obligation of matanos. We already quoted this Mishnah earlier this morning. Good. Now, if you are going to be participating with them, so you have to make a reshima, you have to make some sort of sign that it's clear that even though you are owning the animal, but it's part ownership, and the other owner is going to be a kohen or novi kochavim, and you have to broadcast this information so that you're not in violation of some form of maris ayin, somebody seeing you shech the animal and not giving them matanos. Now, but if you say that I'm going to be partnering with you in this animal, if the Kohen or the Ovi Kochavim says I'm partnering with this animal, except for the matanos, so then patam and matanos, you're going to be exempt from the matanos. We'll discuss this line a little bit later in the Gemara. Amar mechorli b'nei me'ah shal parah v'hayu b'hem matanos nosan l'kohen v'einu menakalo min adamim. Lachu emen b'mishkon nosan l'kohen menakalo min adamim. The last part of the mission we also already saw earlier in this perek, and that's basically, I bought the GI tract from the butcher. I went to my shochet, I bought the entire GI tract. I want all the intestines, I want all the stomachs, give it all to me, and he sells it to me. Now, obviously including the GI tract is going to be the fourth stomach, the keva, which is matnas kahuna. So, I paid good money for this, and now, as I go home, I discover the fourth stomach, and now it's not mine. In other words, it's a kohen's. I got to give it to a kohen. Fine. Can I go back to the shochet and demand a refund? And the Mishnah says it just simply depends on how you bought it. If you purchased it as a unit, so then the understanding, of course, is that you didn't purchase a keva. So therefore, you're not going to get a deduction. If, however, you bought it by weight, then you go back to the tabach and you demand a deduction. Because you bought it by the pound, including that as the keva, he had no right to charge you for that, then you're entitled to a deduction. Okay. Now, the Gemara over here talks about the Bechor and your exemption because one Bechor animal, Balmum, right, I'm adding Tosus's point, one Bechor animal gets mixed in with a whole bunch of other animals, and now you're shechting in a Sata Rovis, and you don't know which one it is. And the Gemara says, wait one second, Vama, Yavo, I love me, Kohen, Mishnei Tzadim, Vilei Malei, Bechor hu, Kula Didihu, Vi'ila Bechor hu, Avli Matnasai. And so the Kohen can come over to you and say, look, I'll let you choose whichever way you want to go. Meaning, granted, it's a tarovus, and now it's a suffix. So it's either a Bechor Balmum, or it's a regular chulin animal. Either way, you're going to be giving me the matanos. And again, Danny, just to clarify, not me, but any Kohen. But you're going to give me the matanos. Here are your two options. Either one, it's a Bechor, so you give me the whole animal, or it's a chulin, but you're going to give me the matanos. So either way, you're going to give me the matanos. So why don't we have this kind of dialogue? So I'm Rav Oshia Bavali De Kohen Umachuli Yisrael B'mumo. So the Gemara gives the ukimta. You're right. In other words, if this was a standard Bechor Balmum, and which hasn't been yet been given to a Kohen, so you're absolutely right. So over here, the ukimta is that we're talking about a Bechor Balmum that was already given to a Kohen, and in turn, he did with it whatever he wants. He sold it to Yisrael. Okay, in other words, we're going to have to come up with another ukimta in order to avoid this because the Gemara is just simply pointing out that in of itself is a strong argument. It's a solid argument. So the Gemara says, look, you know what the Mishnah wanted to teach us? The simple point that if the animal is owned either by a Kohen or by a non-Jew, so there's no obligation matanos. Because again, as we discussed already in the beginning of Shir this morning, the obligation is on the Am. It's on the nation, meaning anyone from Bnei Yisrael. So Kohen is not part of the Am, and Ovi Kochavim is not part of the Am, so there's no obligation of Matanos. That's the whole point the Mishnah is trying to make. And if that's the whole point the Mishnah is trying to make, so then why does the Mishnah just say it with even more clarity? Kohen v'Ovi Kochavim p'tur min Matanos. And meanwhile, the Mishnah over here says that if I shecht on behalf of a Kohen or an Ovi Kochavim, I'm going to be p'tur. Like, it's a little circuitous. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Zosamaris, Adin im Hatabach. So the point that we saw earlier, but this is really the primary source of this halacha, meaning who's responsible? Meaning in terms of the obligation, ownership obviously is going to determine obligation. If the owner of the animal is Yisrael, there's an obligation. If the owner of the animal is a Kohen, there's no obligation. Good, that we know. But who's responsible to actually schlep it over to a Kohen? And interestingly enough, the Tabach. The Tabach is the one responsible. Darash Rava Me'esa Anvelot. Yeah, how is he functioning? It's an excellent question. In fact, as I was saying over the Gemara, I was thinking, like, how exactly is he functioning? Meaning, usually the mitzvahs are done by the person who is obligated in doing the mitzvah. And over here, we're throwing the obligation on the tabach. Yeah, it is interesting.
How can he be responsible when it's not his?
How can he be responsible?
Yeah, when the animal is not his. You cannot just say, okay, I'm
interested,
so I take care of it to give somebody else.
Right. And so the only thing I could tell you is that we're going to darshan it from the psukim. But your question, Rabbi Zimmerman's question, meaning it's right on. How is he doing this? Under what umbrella is he operating? Amar Rav Zosamer Sadinim Atabach Darash Rav Meisa Amvelo Meisa Kohanim. It comes from the nation, not from the Kohanim. Because Shehu Omer Meizov Chayazevach Havi Amar Havi Afilu Tavach Kohen B'Mashma. And when it says Meizov Chayazevach, we mean to say it doesn't matter who the Tabach is. Meaning the Tabach is a Kohen. It's not going to change the fact of what establishes obligation? Ownership. Ownership establishes obligation. So whoever the owner is going to determine whether one is obligated in this particular animal. Now, if the shochet is a Kohen, okay, that's not going to change obligation. If the owner of the animal is Yisrael, even though the person shechting is going to be a Kohen, so he's going to be obligated. Okay, and we're going to see, the Gemara is going to have a little bit of confusion on this point, even though the Gemara right now has been super clear about this. As we're going to embark on the story, I'm going to start the story tomorrow morning, so you're going to see there's a slight confusion on this very issue. Let's quickly recap. Today we talked, we spoke out, we finished up the halachas of Rav, that we're not going to collect the matanos from a Levi because of the suffix of whether he's included an Am or not included an Am. The Gemara rules like Rav. You can give the matanos to, this is Ula's halacha now, you can give the matanos to a Bas Kohen, even if she's married to Yisrael. In fact, the Gemara told us many Amorayim collected the matanos because they were married to a Bas Kohen, and they felt that, like Ula, the giving of the matanos to a Bas Kohen is a satisfaction of the mitzvah of Nisinas HaMatanos LeKohen, even though, as we learned this morning, not everyone's in agreement with Ula. But that's the sheet of Ula. The Gemara Pasens like Ula as well. And the Gemara Pasens like Rav, like Rav Chista, like Ula, and also like Rav Ada Ba'ava, that a Leviah giving birth to a baby is not going to be obligated in Pidyon HaBen. But we'll discuss more of that later on. We went into a classic discussion of the Gemara today in terms of if I have a crossbreed between a Behemah and Chaya, is that going to be obligated in Matanos? Machlokas HaTanayim. Machlokas Amarayim, within the Machlokas HaTanayim, whether you're obligated in half or all of it. And then we started the Mishnah today regarding Tarovis. What happens in the case of Tarovis? Again, because it's a monetary issue primarily, Hamotzi Mechaver Ala Veraya. And the last thing we discussed today is who is responsible to give the Matanos, and that is going to be the butcher.